This is St. Louis Public Radio. Michael Brown's death at the hands of a Ferguson police officer placed St. Louis under an international microscope. In the past 6 days, the region experienced anger, unrest, violence, and sorrow. But the 18-year-old's death shined a piercing light on St. Louis's stark racial tensions. It revealed a disconnect between people wanting justice for Brown's death and a slow and uneven government authority. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum looks at how Brown's death showcased our separated region and whether anything can be done to heal the divide.
Michael Brown's shooting death unleashed a torrent of emotion throughout St. Louis. The world's camera lens focused on riveting images of looting, protesting, and overwhelming force from law enforcement. But Derek Robinson says the past week showcased something about this community that cannot be captured in a picture or broadcast throughout the airwaves. The bishop at Kingdom Destiny Fellowship International contends there's longstanding tension in St. Louis.
This is something that has brewed on the fire for such so long. And so now is the opportunity for them to speak and speak now.
St. Louis isn't unique in this particular matter. Bigger cities like New York and Los Angeles felt what it was like when an unarmed African American was killed by a police officer. It's why Juliet Jacobs, who protested earlier this week in Clayton, sees Brown's death as a symptom of a larger problem.
It's pockets and pockets and pockets. It happens, it dies down. It happens, it dies down. What's going to happen when it happens around the country all at one time?
For now, it's only happening in Ferguson. And the events of the past week are exposing some harsh truths. Ferguson's population is predominantly black, yet the city's police force and elected leadership are overwhelmingly white. That type of relationship is a recipe for disaster for Thomas Turner, who participated in protests in front of the Ferguson Fire Department on Sunday.
The black kid is either getting arrested more, beat more, or shot more. It's more than a coincidence at that point.
There's also searing resentment over the lack of information about what happened last Saturday. The general public doesn't know the name of the officer who shot and killed Brown. Demands for quick judicial action aren't likely to be met, especially since state and federal investigations take time to complete. All of these things don't sit well with Anthony Ross, a Berkeley resident who demonstrated in front of the Ferguson police station earlier this week.
They keep saying, wait for the facts to come out, wait for the facts to come out. Wait for what facts? All we know is that an unarmed teenager was killed mercilessly in the middle of the street. What facts do you need to justify that?
An added layer to this difficult situation is a generational divide. There's a palpable difference between the region's older established government leadership and younger people who pay no mind to them. They were the ones this week chanting in anger and choking on tear gas. Keith Lloyd, a protester from Florissant, says the police's use of overwhelming force hasn't helped bridge the gap.
It shouldn't be a lot of military weapons. It shouldn't be a lot of, you know, just a lot of unnecessary things.
There are no quick fixes here. No governmental decree is going to erase decades of racial divisions, economic disparity, and general distrust throughout St. Louis. But some are trying to find instructive lessons through a tumultuous time. Some hope it might force law enforcement to institute more rigorous sensitivity training. Others see a chance to spur an apathetic public to care about changing the region's government. Natalie DeBose sees an even simpler lesson. The owner of Cakes and More in Ferguson says Brown's death and its aftermath may prompt people to treat each other with more respect.
Whether we're 2, whether we're 20, whether we're 92, we all have to treat each other with respect. And if there was a certain level of respect on everybody's part regarding the entire situation, we would not be dealing with the situation as it is now.
It's hard to say whether Brown's death will facilitate change within the hearts and minds of St. Louis residents. It's possible that any greater meaning from this week will fade once the satellite trucks depart. What won't change is this. An 18-year-old man is dead, and his unfulfilled promise is forcing St. Louis to look within itself for answers. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.